you ever complain to a company on like Instagram or Twitter and you tag them and basically you want everyone to see you complain and then they like have to acknowledge you?
Mm. I actually did that one time. One time it was effective. And I don't do a lot of complaining online, but I was traveling and I got stuck at the airport for like hours and hours and hours on a holdover flight.
Yeah.
No real explanation, not weather or anything like that. And I complained on American Airlines Twitter a couple times. And they got back to me and they gave me information and updates. And I mean, I'm not going to say it improved my seating, but it didn't hurt.
I've never done this because I don't know. I feel like, oh, what's the point? But I keep hearing these stories about these people having this really success when they do this. And I have a couple girlfriends of mine that swear by it.
Yeah.
Anytime they have an issue, the first thing they do, instead of like me, I'll like email like so whoever contact I can find on the website.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I'm having an issue. They go immediately to Twitter and they always seem to get more responses than I do.
Wow.
So have you heard about this Hertz story?
No.
This woman, and I read the entire rant and it was long. And I shouldn't call it a rant because a rant has a negative connotation.
Okay.
It was her story of what happened when she tried to rent a car from Hertz in New York City.
Oh, I did hear. I just heard it, but I have no idea what it was about. But I heard it was a nightmare.
I saw it on Twitter when it started trending. So I like immediately picked up on it and was following it. The story of what she had to go through to get a car, to save you all the details, is horrific. It ended up costing her hundreds and hundreds of dollars in Uber. And basically, the company said to her, the employees said to her, like, we do this all the time. We overbook and then we don't know what to do. So we kind of screw people, right?
Oh, great.
That's what she's alleging that happens. So it went viral, completely viral. When I checked it, it had like 60,000 retweets and likes and whatever. So I can only imagine where it grew from that point on.
What is Hertz going to do about it?
Well, Hertz stock dropped. They reached out to her personally. They issued an apology, like the whole thing. And I'm like, well, that's great for her. Her experience was terrible and she deserves everything that she's going to get. No question about it. But how about everybody else that didn't complain on Twitter that had the exact same situation happen to them?
Yeah. I mean, my last rental car experience was terrible myself, so I can relate. And you feel when you're standing there like it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can save me $20 or $50 the next day or whatever. But when you have somewhere to be and only one way to get there and you've been counting on this, it's terrible. It's a deal breaker, obviously.
One time I wrote a letter to complain about at my juice shop. I always pay extra for the extra protein, but then they don't fill it up all the way. They only fill it up 3/4.
Those jerks.
And I asked them why, and they said it was company policy. And I wrote a letter. I typed it, and I mailed it.
Wow, right? Grandma.
And I never heard a thing back. And I was like, meanwhile, I could have spent 13 seconds on Twitter.
Right.
And what would I have gotten then?
Well, I mean, maybe. Maybe you would have got something back for them. They're so afraid of what their reputation will be online.
Right. If you don't use Twitter, I guess this should be the only reason why you download the app. So listen to what happened this weekend and tell me what you would do, Raven.
Okay.
Okay. And actually, if you could tell me what to do, too, you can text 1-800-330-9999. My computer has been on my laptop. I asked for a new one for Christmas. We'll see. But anyway, my husband said, just go grab one of my old work laptops off my desk and use that over the weekend. So I was like, all right. I had some shopping I had to do online.
Mm-hmm.
So I fire it up. And it automatically logs into his Facebook page.
Yeah.
Now, me being the great wife that I am, immediately go check what's happening because I know that he's never on social media. And I'm curious.
You're so helpful.
I'm very helpful like that. So I open it up and in his messages, he has like 8 or 9 unread messages. And I was like, oh my gosh, he has unread messages. I'm like, I wonder if there's anything important.
Right. Somebody that reached out from his past, like, man, you're a long lost brother or something. And he just left him floating on a deserted island.
Exactly. Now, I know that Facebook isn't the way to reach out to people if you really need to find them. I understand that. Right.
Right.
First thing I see is a message from you from 2019, Raven.
God, what did I say? Right. I mean, 2 years ago, there's only two things it could be. Either I think I'm going to kill your wife.
What?
B, do you need help killing your wife? C, we should kill your wife together.
I mean,
or D, what would your wife like for Christmas?
It was, what would your wife like for Christmas?
Woo!
Yeah,
really rolled the dice on that one there. Thank God.
So it was basically asking like an ideas for what to get me for Christmas. So,
okay.
So you get a pass.
And he
on
didn't
that.
Respond.
And he didn't respond.
Yeah.
Well, now you know why he didn't respond. He never checked his messages. But there was another message, and there was a couple important ones of asking about like where our kids go to school, like from friends, and if we recommend it. All, there were important messages in there, but there was one that caught my eye, and it was from a woman, and it was sent 5 years ago in 2016.
Oh, boy.
And it was asking about his brother, Chris.
Okay.
And it said, me and your brother had been friends, you know, growing up. We were inseparable. You may remember me, whatever. And I've been trying to find him for years.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
And I want to reconnect.
So it really was one of these type of messages that,
yes.
you know, somebody was desperate to get somebody's attention or whatever.
So, and it was like, I assume that you're still on good terms with your brother. I'm sorry if you're not, but if you could just help me out in any way. And Chris isn't on Facebook. So, like, it's not like she could have found him too.
Right.
So I was like, oh!
This is his brother, Chris.
Yeah, Chris is Paul's brother.
So Paul said nothing.
So Paul said nothing. 2016. Of course there's no response. He's never read the messages. I'm the first one opening this message. So I immediately run outside. Paul's putting up the Christmas lights. Paul!
We got to handle this now.
Right. He's like, what? I go, look. And he's like, so?
So it's been 5 years. I mean.
I go, well, like, I need to respond. I'm going to get. And he goes, don't you dare.
Yeah.
I go, what do you mean? He goes, how do you know this isn't one like a stalker of his from high school? Or how do you, he's, you know, my brother-in-law is happily married with children, you know?
Right. So like, this is a problem he may not need.
Exactly.
Yes.
He's like, you don't want to introduce some like old person from the past into his life. Keep your mouth shut. I go, well, what's the difference if I just screenshot it and send it to Chris? And just so he, you know, he gets a heads up. Maybe he does want to connect. He looks at me. He's like, do me a favor.
Yeah.
Don't get involved and stop reading my Facebook messages. Also, he had no idea how to log on to Facebook or anything at all. And I'm like, I don't know. I think I would want to know if somebody from when I was little wanted to reach out to me. So do I just do it anyway?
Wow. It's a delicate thing, right? Because, I mean, how is his wife? Is his wife the jealous type or anything like that? Okay.
She's completely normal.
Well, then maybe have the conversation with both of them standing there instead of just the one. Or if you just send it to him, let's say his wife's walking by, sees this screenshot on his phone, and then, you know, out of context goes, who is this person? What is this? And why is your sister-in-law trying to get involved?
So we're going to be over their house for Christmas Eve. And I'm like,
Do
it on Christmas Eve?
Do it there, right.
Right
as grandma goes to say grace.
Right. I don't know. I'm not sure what to do. I'll keep you updated. Some days may be safer than others, but today we're going to roll those dice.
Okay? Great. Okay.
Yeah. My bosses have pointed out that I am constantly asleep. I can literally fall asleep anywhere at any given time. Now, I blame it on very low iron levels. The fact that I have a 3-year-old that refuses to sleep that keeps me up, and I get up for work at 3:30 every morning.
I mean, all of those things would be valid.
Yep.
Sure.
So we're trying to figure out ways that you can stay awake if you're very tired, because I think a great amount of people across the country have issues that they're just exhausted all the time. I'm not alone on this.
I mean, some people are running the, you're burning the candle at both ends or you're running ragged, but other times we just don't want to miss out on anything, right? So we just stay awake.
Yeah. Yeah. So I drink a ton of coffee. It doesn't seem to work all that much.
Mm.
So today, what we're going to try to stay awake and to avoid being tired is energy drinks. Now, here are some of the positives of energy drinks, the advantages. They're the perfect match for bodybuilders because creatine is naturally found in meat, and it's also a major constituent. How come I can't say that word? Constituent.
Yeah, whatever.
Constituent, yeah. Anyway, it makes your muscles bigger.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. But you're not working out right now because you hurt your leg.
Yeah, I blew out my knee.
Okay.
Yeah, but if I was a bodybuilder, it would be a good thing.
I mean, typically you work out pretty hard. I wouldn't call you a bodybuilder, but okay. Right.
Sports drinks are detoxifiers, so they help detoxify your body of all the negative stuff. All right, that's good.
That sounds like a broad, vague statement.
Right. They keep
make
you
it
awake.
Sound like it's some sort of cranberry juice or
I
something.
Guess. Yeah. But the negatives?
Yeah.
All right, here are some of the negatives.
Okay.
Common side effects include a fast heartbeat, a rise in blood pressure, headaches, and trouble sleeping. A small number of deaths have been reported and associated with energy drinks.
Wait, what? I mean,
we went from not being able to sleep to you might die.
I was going to make a joke about a heart attack or some sort of, you know, angina type episode. But now that you're telling me it's that.
So I have three of them here that I'm going to drink.
Okay. Today?
Yeah. We're going to start with Mountain Dew Rise Energy. It has immune support, mental boost, and 180 milligrams of caffeine.
How can it have those other things when it has that? That's all I'm saying.
It's delicious, actually.
Is it? Come on.
Yeah, I swear. Well, I'll give you some.
Does it taste like Mountain Dew? No, I can't taste that. My cardiologist would flip out. Are you kidding me? I would die instantly.
I got the OG right here.
Okay.
Red Bull?
Yep. Yeah. Sugar-free or regular?
I got sugar-free because I'm on a diet always in my life. Here's the thing about Red Bull.
Yeah.
I don't like the taste of it.
Yeah.
But I drink it with vodka.
Yes.
and it makes me magic, like
yeah.
I could fly.
No, so. I like it with vodka too. Yeah, I had a run with Red Bull and vodka for a while. Yep.
And we have Monster Energy.
Oh,
Monster Energy has a lot of different ones. I got the one that said Ultra Fiesta.
Yeah,
because it seemed like a party.
You seem festive, right? Right. It's like a teal can. Nothing that color would you ever want to ingest actually in your body. Looks like antifreeze, but
okay.
I used to drink Monster with Jaeger.
Really?
Yeah. So it's like a half and half Jaeger bomb. What?
This one doesn't smell. This does not smell like a Fiesta.
It smells like the morning after a Fiesta.
Oh, gosh. It really does.
That one's not good.
No.
Which is the tastiest of the three?
The Mountain Dew Rise Energy, which I think is a newer one. Orange Breeze. It's pretty delicious.
Are you going to drink that entire can?
I'm going to drink all three of these, and we're going to see what happens by the end of the show.
All three of those cans.
It's for science, Raven. It's for science. We'll post a video after the show at Anna and Raven on Facebook, Instagram, and our website, annaandraven.com, and I will report back on if I was able to stay awake and alert.
And if I'm
alive, I guess.
We have paramedics close by.
Yeah.
All right.
Naughty or nice, you decide. Let's see who called Anna and Raven Santa tip line today.
Thank you, Santa. You can call Santa anytime at 833-431-0905. Just leave a message. Let him know who's been naughty and who's been nice.
Message received yesterday.
I have a next door neighbor that insists on parking too close to my driveway, almost so close that I can't make the turn to back into my driveway. And he does it all year long. He belongs on the naughtiness. Almost 1 foot in the way of my driveway, and I've asked him so many times in a nice way, I've given up.
Is there anything more annoying? I mean, when you live in tight quarters, man, and the parking is just a pain.
Yep.
Like every time you pull into something, you're anxious. Is this the day they're going to screw up my car? They're going to mess up the doors. They're going to ding this or do that or whatever. And then the day that you're not worried about it is the day that you forget that the car's there. So you back into it.
100%.
Oh, it's the worst.
I have a neighbor across the street and they park their car like directly behind my driveway.
Oh, yes.
But like there's plenty of room, and the truth of the matter is that there's no reason why I can't safely get out, which I have done, but the anxiety that it gives me every single day, that is this today that I just back up, and
right.
I back up right into that car, you know, it's
move up
2 feet.
Is there room in their driveway?
Yeah.
Then what are they doing?
I don't know.
What are they doing? There's always that type of person that always parks on the street and their driveway's empty.
Yeah.
And I can't stand that
person.
No. cannot stand that person.
Message received yesterday.
Hey, Santa. It's me, Jose. Do you think it's possible I can get a call when I'm talking this shit? Because I have been forgetting and lying about my homework to class. And then I'm also yelling at my friend for no reason. So do you think it's possible I can find me an address this year? Thank you.
Message deleted.
Jose might be in crisis.
I mean,
it's good that he's reaching out and recognizes the fact that he's misbehaving. But
yeah. Who puts themselves on the naughty list and asks for coal in their stocking? Like, at that point, don't you turn your life around?
It's a cry for help.
Right. Just be like, wait a minute. I have made some terrible decisions.
Yeah.
I am sorry, Santa Claus. Moving forward, I'm going to change. He's like, you know what? I've just given up.
Yeah.
You know what? Just put an X right next to my name. Let's move on.
Sometimes you know that there's a little bit more bad to do. I'm just going to say
that. Message received yesterday.
Hi. I want to put my ex-husband, Max, on the naughty list. He is now in a relationship with my first cousin, so he deserves to be on the naughty list.
Wow.
Thank you.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
What's up with that cousin?
I mean, right. When was the last time you talked to that cousin?
Well, you're going to see him in a couple weeks.
At Christmas.
How's that going to go over?
Oh, man. Oh, you brought Susan. That's great. I know. I'm totally cool with you dating my cousin.
Yeah.
Yep.
You can call the Santa tip line whenever you want. 833-431-0905. Please share.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 1-800-330-9999. All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
Hi. If you use gift bags instead of actually wrapping your Christmas presents, that's all I need to know about you.
I'm here for a gift bag or two, but I got to have some stuff wrapped. I agree with that. You better have arthritis or something. You got arthritis. Hey, gift bag it up, Grandma. Yep. All right, do whatever you got to do. You just had some sort of hand surgery, something like that.
All right.
Then you're good. You can gift bag it up. But if not, I want to see that sucker wrapped. It doesn't have to be wrapped well.
Just has to be wrapped.
It doesn't have to be great paper, but I want it wrapped.
I only will put something in a gift bag if it's a real awkward shape. So if it's like something that it doesn't make sense and I just don't know how I'm going to do it and it's heavy and I need a way to carry it, then I'll put it in a bag. But it's the birthdays, I put everything in gift bags because I'm super lazy.
Oh, well, birthdays, you know.
It's different.
Yeah, no,
Christmas,
I agree.
You need presents wrapped.
Right,
I
you
agree
drop
with
it
you.
In, you're coming in. Christmas is different, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a whole different holiday. It's a whole different theme.
If you wrap all your stuff with one kind of wrapping paper, that's all I need to know about you.
Oh.
Also. Yeah, like you got to vary up your paper. What?
Oh, no. So I get the reversible one. So technically it's two.
Sure.
Because it's like the forward and back, and I just go back and forth between those two.
And that's it.
I buy like four rolls every year.
Yeah.
And I start at the beginning. But like if it only takes me one giant roll to get through all the gifts, that's all there's going to be. I'm not going to start opening other ones.
You won't move to the next one unless you actually finish the roll.
No, I haven't.
No,
I
must have seriously 16 different open rolls of wrapping
doesn't
paper right
now. Doesn't that drive you crazy having all those rolls?
It does drive me a little bit. And you know what else happens is so I end up with the shreds of them.
Yeah.
Right? So every roll, you know, you get one where like, oh, the box is this size or it's that size. So you got all these oblong pieces where you're like, well, I'll use that for a small gift. So now you've got like a sleeve full of one pattern and then something else of another pattern. Like, no, but I always have to vary it.
I have a hard time with like the scraps, like the pieces that you cut, like
right.
They're part off, because I never know, do you keep those long term for the smaller gifts?
Right.
Or do you just throw it in the garbage because ultimately it's just a scrap piece of paper, you know?
When my grandmother passed away, I found wrapping paper that was seriously 20 years old in that house, and I still use some of it now. It's like a forest scene. Like, I don't even understand what it has to do with Christmas whatsoever. And I break it out every year, and my wife's like, what are you doing? Who are you giving that to?
We were wrapping gifts over the weekend, and what is it about, like, the minute you finish a roll and you've got that cardboard tube?
Yeah, you
got
to hit somebody with it.
Immediately becomes a sword. Immediately. I ran to find my children so I could hit them with the sword. And then, you know, after a while, they like take it back and then they get too rough. And you're like, give it to me. Give it back.
Right. Then the game's over.
Then you crack it over your knee. It's over.
It doesn't feel very grown up.
Yeah.
But yet it signals that the holidays are here.
If there's something that drives you crazy too, you can call 1-800-330-9999. I'm having some serious technical difficulties at my house with my Christmas tree.
What's going on?
1-800-330-9999. What's on top of your tree and how do you secure it? Now, I'm not an idiot. I know that most of tree toppers come with it's like a piece that has like a hole in it that's supposed to go to the top of the pointy edge.
It's like
of the
a
tree.
Big spring wrap around
thing.
Or
something.
Right. It looks like a spring, but it's like, you know, it's supposed to go over the branch.
But I mean, technology has to have come further than where we are now.
No, I have to agree. They're terrible.
So every year I put an angel at the top of my tree. This year I decided I was going to do something different because the angel is forever falling off, and then she looks sad, and it's like she's tilted, she's leaning forward. Sometimes I come downstairs and she's like halfway down the tree,
right,
hanging upside down. Yeah. And I was like, this year I saw like a really beautiful star, and I go, you know what? Who says I have to have an angel? I'm going to put this star on the top of the tree. So I get it, and I get home, and I'm so proud, and I go to jam it on top of that branch on the top.
Sure.
It won't go. It won't fit. So I tried everything. I tried taking a knife and like shaving it down to fit it inside.
The branch?
Yeah, the branch.
The holder, okay.
The branch, it didn't work.
Yeah.
I finally gave up and I said, you know what? Duct tape. And I just, I duct taped it to the top of the tree.
Yeah.
And
how is it doing? Is it moving or is it secure now?
Oh, it's legit. It's nice.
Good.
I took like the garland that like I wrap around the tree, like I use this burlap thing, and I kind of hid the duct tape so you can't see it.
Perfect.
Right. That's what I said. I was
so
like,
what's the problem?
Yeah. My husband says it's not right to have duct tape on your Christmas tree, which doesn't seem right to me because he uses duct tape for everything else in the world.
I was going to say, I mean, it seems odd to me. So I have the reverse problem. So you've got the topper with the squiggly thing that goes underneath it that's supposed to fit on the branch.
Yeah.
And it's always like that thing is 10 times larger than the actual branch that you're going to put it on.
Yeah.
And I have a pretty sizable tree. So you put it on there and it just kind of falls over on itself.
Yeah.
It just, you know what I mean? And like you said, like the angel falling ahead, you know, banging its head on something or whatever. And with the star, like, we have a large, giant metal star on there.
Yeah.
If that star comes rolling down the side of the tree, somebody could get hurt.
Yeah.
Somebody could get injured.
What do you do to secure your topper to the tree? And what is your topper? 1-800-330-9999. Anne on Raven.
Okay. So on the top of my tree, I have an angel. I use a barbecue skewer to go sort of up the angel. The angel sits in it. And so like a stand so that it's sturdy. And then that goes in the tree.
You put a barbecue skewer up your angel's rumpa-dump-dump.
Well, it's got two pokers on there. It's going to keep it nice and level. I mean, it's not the worst idea ever.
It's true. It just seems not right for the angel.
You know what? Yeah. An angel already got its wings. All right? That angel went through worse.
Yeah. I guess that's true.
This is nothing.
She just gave us permission to share this picture on our Instagram and Facebook.
What's
at Anne on Raven. And I can't wait. I'm going to... Producer Sean, can you put this picture up everywhere right now, please? We are asking, what is on top of your Christmas tree, and how do you secure it? Because I had to use duct tape to get my star this year to stay at the top of my tree. She says she has a Rudolph decoration that her oldest made when he was in preschool. The ears are his hands, and it's made out of a toilet paper roll. So but it looks like Mr. Hankey from South Park.
Wait a minute, was it Mr. Hankey? How can Rudolph look that way?
Wait. Oh, hold on, just look at it. Look at it. Wait, Raven, please. It's the best thing in the whole world. I would like your son to make me one of these for the top of my Christmas tree.
Oh, yes.
I think all toppers should be made out of toilet paper rolls. It's the only way to secure it to the top of your tree without it falling off.
It's actually a genius idea. You know, back in the day, I do remember a lot of the Christmas tree toppers, they were handmade. Right?
Yes.
And so that was the thing, too, is somebody would gift you an angel, and then you felt obligated to use that angel forever after. And you know what? The ones that you buy now, they're not great. They're gaudy and, like, you know what I mean? They never match the rest of your tree. Like, they're not great options.
I am all about using a toilet paper roll to be on top of my tree.
My wife texted me the other day. I mean, so worked up about it. She's over at her friend's. I mean, she's an hour away. She's like, oh, what are you doing today? I was like, I don't know. I thought about taking it easy, watching some football. She's like, figure out how to make that star stand straight up.
Yeah.
I put a binder.
A binder clip?
A binder clip in there, and then somehow that held it in right in place. Yeah. She came in, she's like, it needs to go about an inch to the left. I was like, maybe next year. Maybe next year.
1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. What's on top of your tree, and how do you secure it?
I have a star, and it's so heavy, and the branch that it's, like, shoved in, I use cork.
Cork. Cork is a good idea.
Wine cork.
Wine
and
cork.
It actually secures it, and my guy was like, no way, and I did it.
And I have to drink all the wine.
It's a good
to
idea.
Get the corks, as I explained to my husband why I've had four bottles of Cabernet as I'm decorating the tree.
I mean, that's a normal Tuesday. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? That's genius. I mean, the fact is that I know that you are surrounded by wine corks all the time when you're looking around at them thinking, like, what can I fix with this?
Right.
Tells us a lot about what's going on there. Good for you. Good plan.
Santa and Raven, what's on top of your tree and how do you secure it?
We have a St. Nicholas light. It lights up. And we secure it with a wire. It connects to the wire, and we balance it.
So wait a minute. So are you talking like you put extra wire on it, or you just plug it in?
No, it's
and then
the
you
wire.
Like,
plug it in.
Yeah, so you plug it in, and then you just, like, what, sit it on top of the plug?
Yeah. On top of the stick of the tree, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Right up his rump.
The bow.
Right. St. Nicholas has got... Special,
I get
special
what you're
surprise.
Saying. Yeah. No, I get it.
Yeah.
Isn't the bow in the front? Are you sticking it up the front of his pants?
No.
That's even more uncomfortable.
Yes.
Woo!
Oh.
Thank you.
Tana and Raven, what's on top of your tree and how do you secure it?
We have this heavy metal star, and every time I try to put it up, it just falls.
So what do you do to actually get it up there, though? I mean, is it on the tree right now?
No, it's not. I'm calling in to get some tips.
Yeah, I'm sorry, ma'am. We don't have the answers here. I use zip ties for the last, like, 5-10 years. I use zip ties. So, you know, those things that, you know, you use to secure things around the house or if you were kidnapping somebody. Those same things.
Good.
That's what I use for my tree topper.
Yeah. I mean, I'm telling you, duct tape has worked really well for me. You need to have a sturdy branch, though. You have to have a sturdy topper of that branch.
Yeah.
But the duct tape, magic.
All right. I'm going to try it now. Thanks, guys.
On our text line, they use Velcro strips, long Velcro strips, they wrote. I don't even know how that works.
Oh, okay. So, like, if you have a long Velcro strip, you wrap it around.
Mm.
It's like a tie strip that you can relocate and change.
Another text says, a long, thin stick that can be tied to the strong part of the crown of the tree, and it'll hold anything of any weight. You just got to go find a stick outside, I guess? I don't know. What is on top of your Christmas tree, and how do you secure it? I had to use duct tape to secure my star to the top of the tree this year. 1-800-330-9999. Anne on Raven.
I always have a big angel, and you use duct tape, but I use zip ties.
The problem is if the branch itself is a bit leaning, though, you're going to be secure, but you're going to be sideways anyways.
I've rejected a lot of trees because I felt that the top branch wasn't secure enough to hold like a topper. And
right.
My husband gets all mad, and I'm like, listen, it doesn't matter how perfect the rest of the tree is. If I can't put something on top,
It's
a throwaway tree.
Yeah, no, it's the same problem every year, though.
Yeah. Anna and Raven, how do you secure your topper to the tree, and what is it?
I secure my topper. You've got to fold over all the top branches to make it nice and thick at the top. I use a star so that the star kind of just slides on there and it's not loose at all.
You fold the branches over. I never thought of that.
I think because I picked such strong branches for the top, I don't think I can physically fold them over.
You don't ever trim off another 4 or 5 inches off the top of the tree? Because I do that. So, Anna, you never cut that piece back? What if you folded that one piece over? Do you know what? I'm going to try it next year.
Yeah.
I'm going to try it next year.
All right. Good luck to you guys.
Yeah. Once I remove the scaffolding, the zip ties, and the binder clip that I have attached to it this year, I'm going to try it next year. Thank you for the call.
Thank you. Anna and Raven, what do you have on top of your tree and how do you secure it?
Hi. Actually, we have a Santa hat on top of our tree, and we fastened a fishing hook to the ceiling, or a little hook, and then fishing line so that the fishing line is clear so that the hat is sticking up.
Oh, that's really cute.
Super cute.
Yeah.
I just like the idea of the fact that the hat has got a wide base. So no matter what screwed up thing is happening on the top of your tree, You just stick it on there.
Yeah.
And it's not going to fall off. I mean, getting it to stand up straight, that's one thing. But it ain't going to fall off in general, right? My star looks like it's going to come off that thing at any moment and kill somebody.
That's why you got to get the duct tape.
Roll right down the side of the tree and avalanche and spear somebody in the head.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's on top of your tree and how do you secure it?
Well, for years, we have put a candy cane on top. This is the weird part. We use an old banana clip of my wife's and we do the same thing. Every year, tradition.
That's perfect. You didn't know what to do after the 90s with those things. And you're like, I got it. I'll use it to secure the candy cane to the top of my tree.
Put it away in the Christmas tote, right? Make sure that it's there every single year.
Oh, that's so funny.
Perfect.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's on top of your tree and how do you get it to stay?
Okay, so we are actually huge Star Wars fans. And on top of our tree, we have the Millennium Falcon. And my husband has actually created this special apparatus to make it stay on.
That sounds awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I actually had permission to use Star Wars decorations in my basement for the new tree for the first time ever. And I need more time. I need more time to secure the right decorations and put them in place. But this has given me a great idea. I mean, when you want to save the holiday, who are you going to go with? Han Solo, of course.
Okay.
Shows up at the best time always.
From a lack of a filter.
I love when it's sweet.
To unhinged lunacy.
3 hours in traffic to get there while I just sat in traffic like a crazy person.
And a lack of compassion for the common man. We ask you, the people, is Anna Zapp out of line?
Tell me what you think. Would you have given this woman money? 1-800-330-9999. Was I out of line because I refused to do it out of principle? I had no gas in my car. I know this must come as a complete shock to you, Raven.
I mean, you're a grown-up.
I know.
With people depending on you.
Yes.
You're a parent.
So I have to go to the gas station to get gas. And I get in the car, and I have Dakota, my toddler, in the back seat. She's strapped in, whatever. And I get to the bottom of my hill, and I get to a stop sign.
Mm-hmm.
And I get to the stop sign, and I stop. And this woman comes around the corner, and she's kind of disheveled and looks a little bit frantic. She's probably like a heavier set, older woman. I would guess maybe late 60s would be my guess.
Wow.
And she's holding up her hands, holding keys in her left hand.
Okay.
And like motioning for me to stop.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I got scared. Like, I thought something was happening.
Sure.
And she says, oh, I need your help really quick. And I said, I'm like, yeah, what's going on? What do you need?
Okay.
She's like, my car just ran out of gas. She's like, I'm parked in the inn. She's like, can I just grab a couple dollars? I have one of those gas tanks to fill up, like the plastic bins that you use. So I'm thinking, I go, wait a minute. I go, I'm out of gas right now. I'm headed to the gas station. I'll grab it. I'll fill it up for you. And she pauses and she goes, no, I'll go. She's like, I want to go to the gas station. I'll just walk. I don't want to put you out. And I think I go, but the gas station, and I know where we live. I know where I am.
Sure.
I go, it's like far. It's like at least a mile, like, you know, a mile and a half. Like, why would you want to walk? I go, I'll run. I'll be right back. I promise I'll be right back with the gas.
Yeah.
And she's like, no.
And you said
okay.
That to her too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And she was like, she's like, no, I just want the few dollars. So I go to reach for my wallet. Right. And then I go, wait a minute. I go, this lady's scamming me.
Right.
If she was for real stuck and she had this, why wouldn't you take my help? So then I turn around and I look at her and I've got Dakota in the backseat and she's being quiet. And I think to myself, you're lying to me. I would have so much more respect if you just said, I'm down on my luck. Do you think you could spare a few dollars? Like, I think in that situation, I probably would have given money. But the fact that you literally stopped me at a stop sign,
yeah,
caused like panic and concern, and you lied to me. I was like, I said to her, I go, nah, I'm good. And she's like, what? I'm not.
She was shocked
money.
By the fact that you had woken up. You were like a person coming out of faintness with smelling salts. You were like, no.
Yeah.
No, that's not what's going to happen now.
Right. And then
I applaud you.
Yeah. And she was just, she looked at me. She's like, not even a couple dollars. I go, no, I'm not giving you a couple dollars. And Right. Now I'm like mad about the situation.
Yeah. Yeah. Know? Because now you can see too, when you said no and she's pushing back, like there's no explanation. She could have said, oh, you know what? Just take the gas can then.
Right.
You know, she could have done that.
Right.
Yeah. She didn't do that because that's not what she was actually doing.
And then she turned around and she like ran to somebody that was walking up the street.
Mm-hmm. To tell them
the
some
same story.
Story
the same
or some
story.
Other nonsense. What other story, whatever story she thinks is going to appeal to that person.
Yeah. Then I accidentally almost hit a biker because I wasn't paying attention.
You were mad.
Work out. But then as I was driving towards the gas station, I thought to myself, you know, and maybe you're out of line. Like, mm-hmm. This is a person that clearly needs help. If they have resorted to this in their life, you know, like that this is what they're doing.
You're not helping them by giving them the money. That's the difference is that you're not helping them giving them the money in that case.
But if they went through all that trouble and they're that frantic and they're trying to be creative, like, should I just give in a couple dollars out of my wallet? Like, am I out of line? I was going to get gas and I was at a stop sign near my house and a woman ran in front of my car, put her hands up. She was an older woman and I rolled down my window. I thought she needed help and she did. She told me that her car had run out of gas. She was parked down the street. She grabbed a couple dollars just so she could get gas. I offered to take the gas tank for her to the gas station and fill it up for her.
Because you were going there anyways.
Yeah. And she said no. She just wanted the money. She would get it herself. I immediately was like, she's scamming me. Like, why wouldn't you want my help if I would get you the gas? And then I was so mad that she lied to me that I refused to give her any money whatsoever. Now, the question is, was I out of line because of that? What would you do? Was I out of line? 1-800-330-9999. Anna and Raven?
No, I don't think you're out of line at all. I totally agree with what you did. I'm one of those people. I am more than happy to reach out and help people. I want to make sure what I'm doing is what they really need. I don't want to just give them money and worry that they're going to go and use it for drugs or something that they don't need. If they're in need, I want to help them.
Yeah, $3 doesn't change anybody's life. Feed somebody and you're changing their day.
Anna and Raven, was I out of line because I wouldn't give her $2?
Absolutely not. I have had similar situations where people ask for money. They're saying they're hungry. I'm like, I'm running into the bagel store. I'll get you breakfast. No, I just want money. So I'm like, no, you're definitely not out of line.
Listen, when I see the guy on the side of the road in Vegas or whatever, and the sign says, hey, I actually just want a beer, I give that guy money. He's telling me the truth. I mean, if we all had a little bit more truth in our lives, you know, I give that guy the beer money.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Was I out of line? What do you think?
Yes, because she might have thought you weren't going to give her gas can back, and then she would have been really in a mess.
If I'm asking for gas money, I'm carrying the gas can. Just pointing that out. Mm-hmm. That's just me.
Also, though, if you have a superstitious parent, my mom always says never to turn a beggar away because it could be Jesus in disguise.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, thank you. Merry Christmas. Thank you very much for that nonsense. Get out of here.
Oh, no, I turned God away.
No, get out of here. I can't even. I'm not doing that right now.
Oh, my God. Thank God I went to church yesterday.
Anna and Raven, was Anna out of line?
There was a guy on the train once that he asked for money, and I handed him a container of chicken salad, and he threw it and said, I'm a vegetarian.
As if. Right. Like, you're a vegetarian. Like, I mean, what are you talking about? If you're hungry, you're hungry.
He was appalled that I had given him chicken salad. But, you know, what are you going to do when you're that desperate? I don't know.
Yeah, you go get him a falafel. All right. You know, what would you like?
And Ann Raven, what do you think? Was Anna out of line?
Maybe. You know, it does sound like she's trying to scam, but I'm a sucker, so I don't know. Out of line, no. Not out of line.
Just not a good human being, is basically what you're saying.
I mean, you have to get I think it's human reaction to get fed up sooner or later, where everywhere you go, every corner, somebody's asking for something, right? And it's not to say that some people really don't need help. Of course, there's people that need help.
Then just
right?
ask for help. Don't make up an elaborate lie.
Right.
And then when I'm offering to help you more, then do that. It made me mad. And I don't like, right. I don't know. And then I don't know if I'm a jerk because I thought like, I mean, obviously it's somebody that needed help, but I was refusing it at that point because I was like, just tell me the truth and I'll be more honest with you.
Exactly.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Trevor in Sydney. Sydney, what's going on?
I am the manager at a retail shop. It's not huge. I have 10 employees who are under me. Every year for Christmas, I always give them a $20 gift card and a bottle of wine to, you know, say thank you and let them know that I appreciate what they have done all year long. So I think it's the right thing to do, and I think it's a kind thing to do, and it's a way to keep your employees happy. I mean, not that that's some huge gift or anything, but, you know, I am grateful and thankful that they show up to work today. I mean, every day, because especially now, like, people are having a hard time finding people to work for them. So I feel like this year, it's even more important for me to let them know, like, hey, I see you. I'm thankful. I'm grateful that you're showing up every single day.
Okay. I mean, all of that makes sense to me. Trevor, yep. What's the problem?
Sounds nice.
Well, listen, I mean, I get where she's coming from, but I just think, you know, $20 per employee plus a bottle of wine, I think that's a little bit much, especially if you're not getting a bonus. It's just coming out of your pocket. I mean, what kind of investment is this?
Oh, wait a minute. You're not the owner of the shop?
No, I'm just the manager. I don't own the shop. I'm just the manager, but these employees, you know, work directly for me. I'm the one who, you know, interacts with them on a daily basis.
Well, I mean, it adds up, right? I mean, $200 in gift cards, plus you got probably
wine.
Another $200 in wine or
right.
something like that around
bucks.
That. So it does add up. On the other hand, you know, these people make your job easier. If you have good people working under you, right? I mean, it's going to be less call-ups on the weekend, less person called in, and now I got a cover or... You know, they seem to have some sort of respect. We know it's not the money. It's the acknowledgement that you're doing something and you're appreciated. So as an employee, boy, I really appreciate it when somebody says, hey, great job.
I'm going to ask you the question that I know that 20 people are probably calling already about.
Nah.
Why don't you just do the wine or just do the gift card and compromise?
Well, I mean, like I said, I've been doing this for a while. And especially this year, I feel like of any year before, I have good employees and I keep them happy, they're more likely to follow through on their commitments. And it does make my job easier.
And you still want to be cheap.
So, I mean,
it's what it comes down to.
Well,
you
don't
want
to be cheap.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to be cheap.
Trevor, does this financially put a strain on you guys, realistically?
You know, the more I think about it, I think in the long run, it will. But mostly, it really bothers me. We could be using that money for something else, you know. And yes, I get it. I get what you're saying. I just think you're going a little too above and beyond. How about a thank you card? You know, times are tough.
All right. Why don't we see what the audience has to say? Because they may agree with you, Trevor. There's really no reason for you to do it. Sydney, it's not that your boss is supplementing it. The company is supplementing it in any way. Maybe cutting it in half or eliminating it altogether is not such a bad idea. But I 100% see what you're saying. Employees and finding work right now and people to work for you is really difficult.
1-800-330-9999. Who's are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Sydney is a manager at a retail store. She has 10 employees that work for her. She's the manager, not the owner. And every year she spends about $40 per employee on holiday gifts. It's about $400 total. She thinks it's just showing her employees that she values them. But Trevor, her husband, disagrees.
Yeah, you know, he thinks that the money adds up one way or the other. I mean, it doesn't sound like a lot of money to me, especially when you're working day in, day out with these people every single week. You're relying on them. But he says, why don't you just cut the gift in half or give him a handwritten note? She says, listen, I don't want to be cheap. These people work hard for me. They show up when I need them to. It only makes my life more difficult if I don't do these things.
The thing is, though, it's not like Sydney gets a bonus from the company. It's not like anybody is supplementing her. And I could, I'm sure just like you, this time of year, money gets tight, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court.
I'm actually on her side. I'm actually in her position. And the business owners don't know what actually we, the directors or managers, have to go through to keep these employees happy. You know, we have to acknowledge people and let them know that they are appreciated, because without them, we won't be able to do the job.
Hmm. Yeah, right? I agree.
Don't let them dollars hold up the cents, Anna.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? Couples Court. Sydney is a manager of a retail store, and she has 10 employees that work underneath her. She spends about $40 each employee, $400 in holiday gifts. She doesn't think it's a big deal, even though the company doesn't reimburse her. Her husband, Trevor, disagrees.
Yeah, Trevor thinks that this is money that's just lost out there. Why not just a handwritten note? Why not just a, hey, you did a great job this year, I appreciate you? He thinks that that money could be used for something better.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court.
Hey, I'm on the side of buying a gift of appreciation for employees. I'm a supervisor myself. I actually work at a school, and I supervise teachers, and I always buy something for the holidays. I always buy something like personalized. I spend about $6 or $7 per teacher. It does add up to about $200, but listen, they make my job much easier when they know I appreciate what they do. It really makes a tremendous difference, because I see other supervisors who don't do that for their staff, and there's little respect there, and it makes their job harder. So I do see a big, tremendous difference, and it is worth it. Definitely worth it.
Imagine we were stuck on a boat or a spaceship.
Right.
The one who gave the coffee cups up last year, they're going to live. All right? The supervisor who didn't give anybody anything for all those years,
they're going down.
Yeah, first sign of a mutiny, they're going to eat that guy.
Yep.
All right? They're going to eat them.
Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
Well, I really like your idea, Anna, about the compromise. Like, maybe just like the $20 in cash, even, and a handwritten note that's specific to that person, not just a generic, like, oh, thanks, but like a handwritten, thoughtful one.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Sydney, our audience agreed with you. Trevor, she knows the position that she's in. She knows that what the value of her employees are. And if she feels comfortable doing this and it makes her feel good and it makes her people feel valued, then good. Then let her do it. You have to step out. It's none of your business.
Yeah, you sound like my mom.
Well, I mean, she's right. So that's the simple fact is it's not something that really bothers you or affects you. We're talking about, you know, $400 versus $200. It's not life-changing money. If you want to do it, Sydney, do it for you. You don't need Trevor's permission. You know, you're doing it to make your people feel good, and I'm sure it makes your people feel great. A gift card, awesome. Bottle of wine, even better. Combined, I love it. You give me an empty card, why'd you bother?
Well, oh, that is rude.
Seriously.
What if I write some nice words in there?
No.
Oh.
No, save them. Say it in front of everybody publicly.
Oh, my God.
If it's a team, you want to be good.
That is not the right way to think.
Sydney, are you relieved? Are you happy?
Yeah, totally. I mean, it makes me feel good that other people see the value in giving still. And like you said, it's not life-changing money. We're talking about $400 one time a year. I do fine.
So. All right. Yeah, happy holidays. And if you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven Cash Jackpot up to $1,900 thanks to HelloFresh. HelloFresh delivers farm-fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and recipes to my door so I can enjoy holiday dinners without hours of prep and cleanup. Get 14 free meals plus 3 free gifts with code ANNA14 at HelloFresh.com/ANNA14. Jenny, you are up. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Yes, Raven, leave the room.
Sure, good luck, Jenny.
All right, Jenny. Raven's walking out of here. When that big studio door closes, he can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I bring them back in, ask them the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. Jackpot, $1,900. You ready to play?
Yes.
Number 1, Britney Spears turned 40 years old. On what TV show did she get her start alongside Christina Aguilera, Justin Timberlake, and Ryan Gosling?
The Mickey Mouse Club.
Number two, Encanto is a new Disney film about the Madrigal family and takes place in the mountains of Colombia. The film stars Stephanie Beatriz, who also plays Detective Rosa Diaz in what NBC comedy?
Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Number three, the new Beatles documentary Get Back is now available on Disney Plus. Which Beatle wearing an all-white suit crossed Abbey Road first?
John Lennon.
Number three, Tom Holland will portray Fred Astaire in an upcoming biopic. Who was his famous dance partner for 10 films?
Ginger Rogers.
At number five, Real Housewives' Joe Gorga tried stand-up comedy, bombed, and then started swearing at the crowd. His wife, Melissa, had to pull him off stage. Who is his sister?
Teresa Giudice.
Oh, Jenny! All right, let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
With no hesitation, all five.
It's pretty impressive. Nearly $2,000. Let's go. $1,900. Let's do this.
Number
Let's
one.
Let's do this.
Britney Spears turned 40 years old. On what TV show did she get her start alongside Christina Aguilera, Justin Timberlake, and Ryan Gosling?
Where All My Girlfriends Started, Mickey Mouse Club.
Okay. Number two, Encanto is a new Disney film about the Madrigal family. It takes place in the mountains of Colombia. The film stars Stephanie Beatriz, who also plays Detective Rosa Diaz in what NBC comedy?
She's on Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yes. Number three, the new Beatles documentary Get Back is now available on Disney Plus. Which Beatle wearing an all-white suit crossed Abbey Road first?
That's Lennon.
Ah. Number four, Tom Holland will portray Fred Astaire in an upcoming biopic.
Wow.
Who is his famous dance partner for 10 films?
Ginger Rogers, of course.
Come on. All right, number five, it all comes down to this one. Real Housewives' Joe Gorga tried stand-up comedy, bombed, and then started swearing at the crowd. His wife, Melissa, had to pull him off stage.
Mm.
Who's his sister?
Teresa Giudice.
Oh.
Come on. Whoa,
Come
what
on.
A game.
Come on.
What a game.
That made me sad inside.
I'm sorry. Enjoy the T-shirt.
I'm so upset.
I'll get you one, too, Anna, if you like it. Can't beat Raven.
I don't want your dumb T-shirt.
What a game, though. Great game.
Jenny, I'm going to put your name right back in this hat so you can play him again. You did a great job.
I'm depressed.
Me too.
I mean, I would be too. I mean, $2,000 just snatched away from you.
Yeah.
We really need to report teachers. Come on.
I know.
I'm sorry. That's not the game we're playing now.
Yeah.
Good luck. We will play again. I bet you that. Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. Another $100 in the pot and even $2,000 tomorrow, Anna.
Yeah. All right. Hold on, Jenny. I'm sorry.